Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Reaction Time. We are reacting to certain videos from Hollywood in which we find that they are conditioning the subconscious mind and are raising certain theological and philosophical doubts. In order to talk a little bit about this, we decided to invite Sheikh Ali Himani. Sheikh Ali Himani, assalamu alaikum, welcome to Reaction Time.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's always been a pleasure being here, especially with these exactly. series. Yeah. It's very interesting, and I'm sure the audience are also enjoying watching the videos and trying to understand what's the hidden messages and how they're manipulating our children. And I'm sure the series will open the eyes, would be an eye-opening series, inshallah, and will help the parents decide what to screen and what not to screen and what how to protect the children from all these nonsense that's being shown on
the TV. No, it's very important. I think, you know, this this thing that we have started, you know, for lack of a better term, but this idea of watching these movies that, you know, all of us are digesting so easily and kind of stopping and seeing, you know, what are the different things that are being said between the lines, that we're listening, but we're not really listening, yet we're absorbing.
Yes.
You know, it's something that is really, I don't know, for me it was cutting edge. I'm really enjoying all these videos, you know, and learning quite a bit. Allah bless you for your efforts.
Absolutely, my pleasure, yeah.
So what are we dealing
with
today?
We've got a couple of videos today. Let's start with the first one. It's about a minute and a half. Very important messages. Some of them are very evident and apparent, and some of them are hidden.
Right.
But the subconscious mind captures it. So we'll look at the apparent and the evident messages. We'll also look at some of the hidden messages here, inshallah.
Okay.
Unsure of yourself. The fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage. And if history has proven anything, it is that evolution always wins.
You know, the first thing, because so again, this is a Superman movie, right? What to me is really interesting is how the music and the action and the script and everything comes together. It really does make it, I don't know, fun or exciting or something, right? Like, you don't feel like you're being conditioned. You don't feel like you're being taught a message because it's so much fun.
Not just fun. It's so intense,
That
you actually forget. Yeah. You actually forget that they are actually planting a message in your mind. You're only enjoying it.
Right.
You're enjoying what's happening. The music is intense. The fight is intense.
Yeah.
Superman is getting beaten up, right?
Yeah, by a woman.
By a woman. That's another message that I wanted to highlight.
Mm-hmm.
So getting beaten up, and that's something that you're involved into. How is it going to end? And that's the precise spot and the point for a woman to deliver a message and plant that message in your mind. You know? And it's very, you know, done very delicately and very,
it's very
nicely.
Very artistically. I mean,
very artistically.
It's, you know, it's you know, our hats off to these guys. They really, Zahmat Mikishan, they work really hard to be able to. So, for example, like, they brought up the idea of evolution. They brought up the idea of
morality.
Of morality is that because you have morals, that makes you
weak. And it gives us an evolutionary advantage.
An evolutionary advantage, and evolution is always, you know.
And then it says history has proven. It's not
proven,
just, you know, you know, we might have witnessed or it is thought of. No, no, it, like, history has proven. If history has proven anything, it is that evolution always wins. So we're talking about proofs here. We're not talking about ihtimal. We're talking about proofs here.
Yeah.
So very nicely and artistically done. So that part is the theological part.
Right, the theological part.
Raising the question on the morals.
Yeah.
While Islam talks about three fundamental pillars. One is aqaid, one is ahkam, and the other one is akhlaq.
Yes, it's
and they say, if you have morals, you're weak. So if someone who believes in Islam says, I have aqaid, I have ahkam, and I follow akhlaq, and they're like, oh, you have morals, so you're weak. Mm. Right? So if you don't want to be weak, you want to be strong, leave your morals aside.
Mm. Mm.
I'll just give you a hint, ishara, sure, towards another movie, but I'm not using any of the clips here because that's the whole movie that needs to be watched and analyzed. The name of the movie is Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not wrong, Scarlett Johansson plays the role there. And there it talks about what happens if a person starts using 100% of their brain.
Mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm.
And the claim is that man uses about 4% of their to the capacity of their brain, 4 or 5%. And the movie shows that as she progresses through the movie and starts using more of her brain power, 60, 70, 80, it shows that she has no emotions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She has no feelings anymore. She is willing to kill people to achieve her single target. She says these are all collateral damages. I'm using the terms, you should understand what I'm trying to say. These are all collateral damages. We have a certain goal. To achieve that goal, it doesn't matter what we invest, what we kill, how brutal we get. Doesn't matter. And this is what the message is here. It says you have sense of morality, you're weak. We don't have morals, we are better off. And it gives us an evolutionary advantage. So again, bringing evolution here and pushing creationism aside and saying evolutionary advantage. So many theological messages and doubts here being created that if I want to be really strong, one, I need to leave creationism and believe in evolution. Two, I need to leave akhlaq and believe in being immoral. So two fundamental pillars of Islam, aqaid and akhlaq, are gone. If you don't have aqaid, then what is ahkam useful for? If you don't have God, what are you performing the acts for? So basically, all the pillars of Islam are questioned here.
Right.
But apparently, it's not looking like that.
It's only apparently it's really intense, and it's like, yeah, she's right, you know.
And it's entertaining.
He has morals, that's why he's getting beat up.
So, and it's the subconscious mind that captures all this information, and there's a constant conflict in the minds of the Muslim Ummah, whoever is watching this, that what do? I have morals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me to be gentle towards the orphans, to be gentle towards the widows, to be, you know, caring towards the neighbors, even the animals and the environment. And I'm seeing here that person like Superman, just because he's got morals, he's getting beaten up. So what good are these morals to me? And they actually really feel it and see it in the real life that because I am a nice, humble person with humility, in my work environment, in my college, in my schooling, I get bullied, I get beaten up, I get manipulated, I don't get promoted, others get promoted because they are cunning and aggressive and assertive and, you know. So really, are morals actually helping me out? And this just emphasizes and enhances that doubt in their mind. And they're like, no, forget it. Right? Forget all akhlaq and all that. The moment you say forget one, others start becoming weak.
And morals is really one of the fundamental aspects, right? This ethical behavior, moral behavior. Again, if you start to wipe that out from the people... but I don't know if you'd like to talk about this. I know it's a little bit of a... It's not a tangent, but it's not directly related to the movie. This idea that morals are necessary, right? So, for example, even through history, and this, what to me is really relevant, is the idea that they put a doubt or a shubha out there that, first of all, it's a quite philosophical, theological shubha, doubt, right? And the doubt is so powerful that it will confuse a lot of people, you know? And the more you think about it, the more you're like, yeah, I know you should live a moral and ethical life, but it does seem like you said, when you're moral and ethical and humble, you know, and pious, that you don't get promoted, you don't get a better job, you don't, I don't know, you know.
You lose out on opportunities.
Yeah, lose out on opportunities.
Because someone else is manipulating, right?
And so, I mean, like, what's the rebuttal, if you have time, you know, to kind of...
See, on these aspects, we need to clearly understand that, point number one, that instead of calling it morals, let me call it akhlaq. Because that's how we address in Islam. We've got aqaid, ahkam, and akhlaq. Islam is very clear about akhlaq. Islam and our scholars, if you've looked at the book Miraj al-Sa'ada, the khulasa written by Sheikh Abbas Qumi, he says akhlaq, that is purification of the soul and following the morals and ethics, is awjabul wajibat. That means it's more wajib than any other wajib. So if I feel namaz is wajib, then akhlaq is wajib tar. It's more wajib than namaz, right? Why is it so? Because if someone doesn't have akhlaq, and even if they're offering namaz, and they're offering namaz regularly on time in the masjid at the peak of time, but if they're not offering it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's no benefit of this namaz. How do you make sure you have that ikhlas and sincerity and that piety towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Akhlaq. Akhlaq helps you building that piety, that in a way that every action that you do, your niyat and your intention becomes pure, and the ikhlas plays the role in making this act pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when we actually see the outcome and the result of that act in our life.
Right.
You know, the verse of the Quran says that as-salatu tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. So namaz is, it actually protects you from fahsha and munkar. But we see all around the world that people who are offering namaz, they're not away from fahsha and munkar. They're not away from sins. Why? Because when they're performing the act, the akhlaq, the purified soul is missing. The ikhlas with which the namaz has to be performed is missing.
Right.
And when that happens, riyakari happens, show off happens, this namaz has no results in it.
Yeah.
And therefore, akhlaq plays an essential role to not just complement, but give that strong structure to the other two pillars of the Islam, which is Aqaid and Ahkam. So if you don't have a purified soul and you're doing it with the intention of Riya, all your Ahkam are lost. Whatever you've done is nullified.
Right.
Even your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of no use. Why? Because if you truly believed in Him, then you would have done it with Ikhlas. You've not done it with Ikhlas. That means you actually didn't truly believe in Him.
Right.
So Akhlaq forms the core base of the religion. And unfortunately, it's also the most neglected aspect of Islam. You won't find scholars talking about it from the minbar. You don't find them emphasizing. You don't find them planning it for a community. For example, if I'm going to X community, I'm there as a resident alim for a year, I need to plan akhlaq for the community. I need to plan just the way you plan your career, just the way you plan your life, just the way you plan your education. You need the scholar and the people there need to take it seriously and plan for the community that in 1 year from today, no one in our community will backbite. No one in our community will lie. So the lying has to go away from our community. Backbiting has to go away. Qasb and, you know, usurpation and, you know, fraud and cheating, embezzlement of funds and, you know, taking money from others and not, all that has to go. So over a period of 5 years, these are some major sins that has to go from our society. Community. When that starts happening, you will see the society grow. But here,
it's doing the exact opposite.
They're saying, forget morals. Forget morals.
It makes you weak. And who wants to be weak?
And this goes back to that fundamental concept of capitalism that we discussed. That Adam Smith says, unlimited wants and limited means. And therefore, whatever you get, you just keep it. And when you're keeping it and you find someone who's hungry, weak, poor, and if you have the sense of morality, you would actually share and give. But if you don't have a sense of morality, you say, I don't care. You know, I have worked for it. This is mine. Why should I give it to you? Right? Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says so. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, Zalik al-Kitabu la rayba fi hudan lil muttaqeen. And then he defines muttaqeen. He says, Allazina yu'minuna bil ghaib wa yuqimuna salat wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqoon. From the risk that we have given to them, they do infaq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly telling you that what you have is not yours. What you have is what I have given. So the true owner is me. You're only a handler of it. And something that I gave you to handle, if you give from it to others, then you are the muttaqeen. Mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. I'll skip the fourth verse. Let's go to the fifth verse. It says, Ulaika ala hudam min rabbihim wa ulaika humul muflihun. They are the ones who are on the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the victorious ones. So infaq, giving means victory. Adam Smith says, don't give and you're victorious. And this talks about the Adam Smith ideology. It says, don't give. Don't be weak. Don't have morals. If you have morals, you're going to be weak. If you're weak, then you can't survive the world. Right. So that's the clip here.
And so one last thing before, excuse me, we kind of wrap up the episode, is this idea, and I can pretty much extrapolate at this point in time, that you will not find any divine, excuse me, spiritual, subliminal messages.
Oh, no, that never happened.
In any of these things, you know, like help the poor and stand up for the oppressed and oppose the oppressor and, you know, help thy neighbor. None of this stuff is things that we're going to see in these subliminal messages.
Even if there is, they make a conscious effort to rebuttal and nullify that message by the end of the movie. For example, there's one of the clips that we're going to watch. It comes from the movie called Prometheus. In that, there's a question raised. And then he answers a question, and it's in favor of creationism. But when you get to the end of the movie, you clearly see that that message had no value. He actually says that, you know, creationism, creationism, true. God created us, and therefore we call him God. I created AI, and therefore I should be treated like a God. So I am the God. Again, the same message, Anarabbukumul A'lam. Inshallah, we'll look at that message, and we'll dissect that video in our subsequent series, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, thank you so much, Sheikh Ali Humani, taking time out and discussing this really important subject. And inshallah, it will definitely be of use and benefit to the viewers wherever they are.
Inshallah. I hope the viewers benefit from this and protect their children from these theological and philosophical doubts. Another, I would like to conclude the session with important message here, that look, there are times when the teens watch these movies, they come back to the parents and they say, look, I'm confused. I have this doubt. And the parents just, you know, brush the doubt aside. Like, oh, these questions, you are watching a lot of science fiction. You are watching a lot of movie. All this is coming from Superman and Spider-Man. They brush this aside. Whereas the parents should take these questions seriously and approach a scholar, the community center, or whoever is a learned person there in the community, if you don't have a scholar handy, or if you have scholars online who are willing to answer questions for you.
Definitely.
You reach out to them and you say, look, here's the movie. Here's the part. Here's the question. My kid is asking this question. What do I answer? Do you have a comprehensive answer? If you don't, then it's not just this one kid that is getting affected. It's a whole bunch of people that are getting affected, because this kid is not going to sit silent. He's going to go to the community center. He's going to interact with other teenage kids and his friend circle, and he's going to plant this message and the thought in their minds.
Right.
So he's actually spreading the message. He's become the muballigh for the Hollywood.
Yeah.
So we need to curb this. So the parents need to take this seriously, and they need to reach out to scholars and like, okay, look, here's the question my son is asking. How do I deal with this? What do I answer?
Yeah.
And take those answers and provide that answer to the children. If they cannot, organize an online session with that scholar. Tell him, come here, you know, for a 40-minute session on Zoom or whatever. Here's the question. Explain it to all these 20 kids that will join the Zoom call and solve it out. If you don't solve it, it stays in their brain, it stays in their mind. It grows, and eventually they will adopt it as their own opinion and ideology,
especially
which is extremely dangerous.
If they can't fight it, if they don't have a rebuttal to it, then it does become part of the ideology. Eventually we would probably talk about this subject, you know. I don't know if you want to open it up or not, but this idea that it's not wajib to go watch these movies.
Oh, it's not.
And we kind of need to slowly, I guess, cut ourselves off, you know. Keep this in mind. It's not wajib. You don't have to go watch these movies. You don't have to go watch these sitcoms. You don't have to. And I understand life is busy and life is difficult and you want to escape. But and this is maybe a paradigm shift is what I'm talking about, you know, a cultural shift from what is entertainment, what is, you know, how come we find, let me add this.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I understand these points, but I'm into counseling.
Sure, sure.
There are a lot of young kids that come across to me and they're like, you know, we understand that, you know, he clearly understands that it's not wajib. He yeah. also understands that at some point this might actually be haram for me, right?
Yeah, interesting.
But
yeah.
but my problem is that if I don't watch this, I'm left out. So when yeah, I'm with my friends, yeah. when I'm with my colleagues, when I'm with my you know project or teammates or in batchmates or school or class or college, yeah, whatever. Yeah. If I have a friend circle around, everyone's talking about, for example, Avengers Endgame. Yeah. Right, and they're talking about this time travel into the quantum verse and then you know killing yeah. Thanos and all that, and I have no idea. I'm sitting there blank and like, you haven't watched it yet? Mm. Oh, and then
loser,
you start getting termed as a geek and nerd and whatever.
Geek and nerd.
And then it's like, yeah. what do? I need to be part of the community. I need to be part of the society, right? So yeah. I have to watch it, even if I make a conscious effort not to take the messages. But again, like I said, the psychologists are working behind the scene.
Yeah.
You can't yeah. defend yourself. It's extremely yeah. dangerous. And it's extremely difficult to defend yourself. So people yeah. sometimes know that it's not wajib.
Yeah.
They know that sometimes even it's haram, but then they're like, sorry, but I have to be in touch.
Yeah, right? I have to live in the real world.
In the real world, right? So there are times when yeah. there is this peer pressure, when yeah. you have the social pressure, and then, you know, helplessly you end up falling a prey to this.
Yeah.
The point that you made is that, here's a fundamental question. Does Islam has an alternative? Are the scholars or the Muslims around the world working for an alternative? This is a very, very important question that I always get from all the parents from all age groups. Whether yeah. you have a 6 months old baby or a 20-year-old kid, they say, okay, you don't want us to read the English stories and yeah, those lullabies and I don't know, whatever for our kids. So what's the alternative? What do you have for us? And then we just go blank. Okay, we don't have anything. Then what do? I need to read some bedtime stories. I need to teach him. I need to help him learn the language. I need to help him be creative. So what do? I'm going to read Alice in Wonderland, Wizard of Oz, and whatever books they are. If you don't have an alternative, I just can't go blank on my kid, right? So here's a big challenge. I know a lot of Muslims and Shias out there who are ultra rich. But the moment you present them these concepts of writing children's book or coming up with animation series for kids, which has moral messages in it, which has Islamic messages in it, they immediately back out. Why? First question, what's in it for me?
Yeah, what's the return on investment?
Well, yeah, what's my ROI? Where are my profits? How long will it take? When will I start getting returns on it? After 4 years, after 5 years, what's the percentage? What's my role in your organization? Are you making me an advisor? Are you making me a president? Are you making me a CEO? So what happens here is that when you see that even those who have money, they are worried about their children. But the moment they come into this, they become these money-oriented, profit-seeking entities. And then you're left helpless. You can't. You have ideas. You want to do things. But then those who can help you, they're only looking for their profits, and then you're left helpless. And when the parents ask you, what's the alternative? The only thing you can say is that, look, we've got ideas, we've got everything with us, but sorry, we can't deliver it to you because there's no one to back this out. But these very guys, if you tomorrow tell them that there's a Netflix series being launched, for example, Squid Games, and they're like, okay, what's the analysis? Oh, you're going to get 100% returns. They'll be the first ones to invest.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sheikh Ali Emani, thank you so much for bringing up these vital points. Inshallah, we hope to have you on another Reaction Time soon.
Inshallah.
Thank you. Jazakallah.
Inshallah.
And dear viewers, thank you so much for joining us. That's all from us. This was Reaction Time.